Sugarloaf and the Red Shoes by Marie Gethins. Read by Jenny Hoops. Perhaps Demi Ledoux was too beautiful for her own good. She definitely was too beautiful for the good of others. Each morning she brushed her black curls, coal-lined emerald eyes, gave the reflection an air kiss. People dropped their chins when she walked down the street. Crop tops displayed toned abs, a navel ring bell jingled as she swayed her hips. At night she hit the most radical New Orleans dance clubs. Demi could bounce, dribble, twerk, and body roll better than anyone. She sashayed onto the dance floor, melding with the music. One by one, men and women tried to dance with her. She judged them within 4 or 5 beats. Some managed to break out of the circle before she turned them away. Others came close enough to touch her, and a lucky few managed to grind against her. Sometimes she'd pull one into a dark corner to allow exploration of her body. They nibbled earlobes, roamed over breasts. She ended the encounter if the candidate reached inside her jeans or lifted up her skirt. "Mama told me to save the Sugarloaf for someone special," she said. One night, Demi alternated between rump-shaking against a handsome boy and shimming her chest towards a petite girl. The song ended and she decided on a bottle of water. She pushed her way through the crowd. Before she could pay, a man in a luminescent suit slid a $5 bill towards the barman. "Thanks," Demi said, taking a sip, scanning him from shoulder to heel. "My pleasure. You're a good dancer," she laughed.
"I'm not good. I'm the best."
"That's easy in the Big Easy, honey. You want a real challenge? Try this." He put a glossy dance reality show ad on the bar. Demi looked up, searching the crowd, but the man had disappeared. When she got home, she filled out an online application form, uploading full-body photos and headshots. She didn't worry about her dance routine or music selection, but knew she needed an exceptional pair of shoes. Shoes the camera couldn't ignore. Demi searched dance shoe stores across New Orleans. They carried the same shelf stock. Boring footwear filled their special order catalogs. In the final store, she screamed at the clerk that she needed something unique. The clerk whispered he knew of a place in the French Quarter. "It will cost you."
"I don't care about that. Where is it?"
He scribbled the address onto a scrap of paper. "Be careful," he said. Tucked away in a dim alley off a twisted side street, she spied a large, shoe-shaped sign, Les Chaussures Personnalisées. The display window glowed. Handcrafted satin heels sat poised on puffy cushions, azure, lemon, cerise, viridian. Forehead against the glass, her breath fogged the view. She rattled the locked door, stomped her foot, groaned to the sky. She pounded the door, her throat growing hoarse. Then a beam of sunlight hit the doorframe, and she noticed a tiny gold doorbell. Ear to wood, she heard it chime deep inside the building. She pushed it again. After the third time, she heard footsteps. Locks clicked and snapped. The knob turned and the door swung inward. Demi expected a proprietor as ancient as the area. Instead, a man in his late 30s opened the door.
"Yes?"
A foreign accent she couldn't place.
"I'm looking for dance shoes. Something extraordinary." "Then you've come to the right place."
His lips stretched, revealing dark gums and iridescent teeth. He waved her in.
"Please, sit."
He indicated a gilded high-back chair. The shoe designer measured her foot. His long fingers stroked her instep, massaged her toes. His tongue darted in and out, and his eyes narrowed when he touched her. She squirmed in the seat. Although she hadn't intended to tell him about the dance competition, the words flowed out. He tested style after style.
"There is a very special design, the Lady Ella. I think they suit you. Would you like to try them?"
Demi nodded. He took a tiny key hanging around his neck and unlocked a mahogany cabinet. Placing a gold shoebox by her feet, he smoothed tissue to one side and offered up a red satin shoe. As he fastened the buckles, a tingling crept from her toes to her thighs. Music filled her head. She danced around the room.
"I know I'll win in these shoes."
"They may cost you more than you are willing to pay."
Demi fell into the chair, panting.
"I don't care. I have to have them. How much?"
She took them off, running her fingers along edges.
"They have hoodoo magic."
"Hoodoo, voodoo, whatever," she shrugged. "I want the shoes."
"You'll be victorious, but you must pay the price."
He leaned against the counter.
"Let me touch the sugar loaf."
"Seriously, how much do they cost?"
"No money. I want to touch the sugar loaf."
Demi pictured herself on stage, a disco ball trophy, a confetti monsoon. She slipped the shoes back on. The tingling returned. Her feet tapped out a new routine while she watched.
"A touch, that's all you want?"
"Yes."
"Okay, but just one touch."
She took off the shoes and wrapped them in tissue. The designer guided her out of street view. She closed her eyes. His fingers crept up her thigh, maneuvered around cotton and lace. Faces inches apart, she felt his breath on her cheek. He smelled of peppermint and patchouli. He stroked her gently, and she sighed, happy about her Brazilian wax the previous day. A single digit entered. Her eyelids fluttered, and she pushed his arm away. "Enough," she said. He laughed and raised his finger to take in her perfume. The competition passed in a whirl. Her frenzied feet followed unfamiliar choreography. Demi progressed onto the semifinals. Posing for promotional photos, she struggled to keep still. When she took the shoes off, light shone through the soles. Demi returned to the French Quarter and asked if he could repair the shoes, but he told her it would be impossible. She sobbed. He escorted her inside.
"What will I do?"
"Become my praline. I have another pair of Lady Ella's."
She squealed.
"Oh, are they my size? Let me try them on."
He drew out the key. Another gold shoebox appeared, the shoes a perfect fit. The tingling began again, but more intense. Her feet tapped, slid, hopped around the room. She grabbed the back of the chair, eased herself across an arm. Her feet continued to tap and kick. Hands clamped on the armrests, she told him to take off the shoes.
"I must have them. What do you want? Another touch?"
He smirked.
"No, no. For this pair, I want to taste the sugar loaf."
"Not in a million years."
"Fine."
He took the box and opened the cabinet. "Wait," Demi bit her lip.
"Just once?"
He nodded, tongue tracing his lips.
"One time, that's it. I mean it."
He propped her against the counter. His styled hair disappeared beneath her skirt, and fingers helped her step out of cotton and lace. His fingers explored, traced her edges, and opened the sugar loaf. His tongue snaked in. She quivered. Her navel ring jingled. She pushed his head away. He laughed through fabric folds. The semifinals yielded more glory. At the end of the show, she continued to dance, spinning, leaping. The host chuckled at her excitement, spoke of the dead heat between her and Gia from Kansas City, urged viewers to phone in, text, or vote online. Demi grabbed one of the crew, begged him to remove the shoes. He tried, but her swollen feet pressed tight against the fabric.
"Cut him off," she said. He struggled to hold down her wriggling calves while he snipped each shoe in half. "Aw, your pretty little feet all swollen." Gia lifted a shoe half, swinging it over Demi's head. "Better hope you find decent shoes before the finals. See you in 2 weeks." A few days later, Demi returned to the French Quarter. The designer opened the door, leaned against the frame.
"I watched your performance. Truly remarkable," he said.
"Did you vote?" Demi folded her arms across her chest.
"Come now, I think I've helped you enough already."
The shoes are gone. I need another pair for the finals."
He clicked his tongue.
"Do you have another pair of Lady Ella's?"
"I might."
"Stop screwing around. Do you or don't you?"
He waved her inside. "I have one more pair of Lady Ella's, but they are very potent."
"I have to be the best. I need the shoes."
"Well, then."
He opened the cabinet and took out another gold box. Demi waited for him to place them on her feet. Instead, the designer put the box on the floor beside her.
"Don't open the box until the performance."
"But what if they don't fit?"
"They were meant for you, but their magic is extremely strong." "Are you certain?"
He offered his hand. Demi sighed. He led her up the stairs. A four-poster draped in swathes of white dominated his bedroom. He pulled back the duvet, patted the mattress. It crinkled, reminded her of candy wrappers. She closed her eyes, imagined applause, and let him take the sugar loaf. Afterwards, she watched him strip the blooded sheet and zip it into a plastic bag. He packed the bag into a shipping carton that contained 3 gold shoeboxes.
"What are you doing?" she said.
The designer smiled.
"Never mind, Beignet. Off you go. Remember, keep them in the box until right before you're announced."
The night of the finals, Demi asked the crewman to help after her performance. She put on her red shoes just as the host finished his intro. She began to sway. Her tempo increased. She danced faster and faster. The band leader's baton became a flash of white. The audience awed. Cameras struggled to follow her across the floor, spinning, leaping, hips swinging. Her stomach lurched. She closed her eyes. Legs weak, she collapsed. Her feet continued to tap and kick. As the final note sounded, the crewman carried her away.
"Wow, the amazing Demi Ledoux. How about that tarantella sequence at the end?"
the host said. Offset, the crewman held her turbulent feet. He tried to cut the red shoes in half, but the satin embedded into her flesh. He snipped. A pile of red shreds grew beside him, cradled her bare feet in his lap.
"Oh, sweet thing, we've got to get you to a hospital. You've broken all the bones in your feet."
"Never mind that. What does the scoreboard say?"
"They may never heal right."
"Shut up, idiot. What's my score?"
He looked up.
"No one's even close. You've won. You've won."
The crewman leaned in for a kiss. Demi locked an arm against his chest. He shook his head, dumped the shreds, and left. On the shoulders of 2 shirtless male dancers, Demi cradled the disco ball trophy. Squares of light drifted across the audience. On her 3rd lap of honor around the studio, Demi saw Gia fishing out shoe pieces, pushing them into her bag. She grimaced, then kissed the trophy and lifted it over her head.
"It's mine!"
Gia slapped the old wooden door and gave another 15 minutes sustained assault.
"Open up!"
The designer peered out. She held up red satin shoe pieces held together by glue and tape.
"You're effing hard to locate. I put together the soul to figure out this place's name, and it still took, like, forever to find it."
He moistened his lips, eyed her from crown to feet.
"Nice white coordinates. One could say you look almost Vestal."
Gia sighed.
I'm not here for style tips. I need dancing shoes. Special shoes. Shoes that will help me win.
Then you've come to the right place. I have just the pair for you. They're called the Lady Demi, but they may cost more than you are willing to pay.